planning for a great service next weekend. You do not want to miss that. Amen. Go home and pray for these backsliders that God lays on your heart and ask them to come back next weekend to hear Brother Mark Morgan preach, especially if they're backsliders from here that knew Brother Morgan perhaps as he was growing up. And we would love to have just a great celebration, a little homecoming next week, and see the Lord pour out His Spirit in a mighty way. Amen. So don't miss. He'll be preaching both in morning manna and at the 1 p.m. service next week. You do not want to miss Brother Mark Morgan. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Help us today, Lord, as I preach a backslider's experience. A backslider's experience. Jesus, I pray that you'd move upon us. Lord, just continue to let your Spirit work. We feel your mighty presence in this house, and we're thankful for what you are already doing. And I pray, God, that you would take us to that full move of your presence that you have for us today. And let your will be done in our hearts, God, and lay a burden upon us, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you just be willing to say, Lord, I receive a burden for backsliders today. Lord, I receive a burden to pray for them. I receive a burden to call their name out to you. I receive a burden to reach for them. I receive that burden right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. What a word picture presented to us in our text today. In these verses are described those who have been safely brought out of the pollution of the world through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's that old song that's so encouraging to sing. He brought me out of the miry clay. Are you thankful today that you've been delivered from the pollution of the world? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But our text speaks of those who, having once been delivered, find themselves entangled again, their latter being worse than they were at the beginning. And Peter declares that it would have been better for them to not even have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned away from it. He then relates the experience of backsliding to a dog returning to its own vomit, or a pig that was washed returning again to the mire. What words to describe that experience of backsliding? What a picture that is formed in our mind through the writing of Peter, accurately describing the experiences of one turning away from righteousness and hope and the peace of God, turning back again to the dirty, sinful, hopeless life that they'd once been delivered from. Oh, the plight that many find themselves in today, entangled again and what they'd been once set free from, overcome by what they'd once overcome, and polluted by the sin they had at one time escaped, the experience of a backslider. Where do we get the word backslider from? What does the term mean? What is its origin? Do we find it in the Bible? We find the term backsliding 12 times in Scripture, all in the Old Testament, and in the writings of Jeremiah and Hosea. The Hebrew word that is translated as backsliding, it means literally turning away, turning back, apostasy, or it simply means backsliding. Jeremiah and Hosea both use it to describe the turning away of Israel, the turning away of Jerusalem from Jehovah, turning away from the things of God, someone turning their back on the things of God, turning away from God and turning towards sin. How interesting we see how backsliding is the exact opposite of repentance. To repent, we turn away from sin. We leave it behind and we start following the things of God. We stop following the things of the world and we turn towards the things of God. But backsliding is literally the opposite. To turn from God and to go back to the things that we'd once been delivered of, the things that we'd once repented of, to turn our back on that which is holy and to go back to that which is evil, to turn from that which is righteous and go back to that which is wicked, to turn from that which is so pure and holy and return again to that which is immoral. That's the experience of a backslider, turning away from the things of God. Where does backsliding begin? Where does that turning away from God begin? A popular song today describes it as a slow fade. A slow fade. How true that is, because we can't always pinpoint the beginning of backsliding. We can't always find that one moment or that one decision or that one thing that caused someone to turn away from God and go back to that which they'd been delivered from. Bishop likes to say that if you examine someone's journey as a backslider, often the first thing in the world that they pick back up is the last thing they lay down when they came into the church. Often the first thing that they picked back up was the last thing they laid down when God delivered them. We would do well to remember today where Jesus brought us from. We should never forget his delivering power in our lives. We should never forget how it felt to have our sins washed completely away. We should never forget what a blessing it was when he delivered us from the tangles of sin. Oh, and every one of us need to know today, we need to have a memory of the pollution of the world. Not to condemn us and not to depress us about where we once were, but to remind us and to warn us, to protect us, so that every time the enemy tries to make that thing, that sin, that habit seem so appealing to us, we can remember, oh no, I know where God brought me from, and I'm not headed back to that pit of sin. I'm not headed back down that road because I know where that's going to end up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Every time the enemy tries to bring that last thing that we laid down on the way to the cross, every time he tries to tempt us with it, something inside of us comes alive and we declare with everything in our being, oh, I'm not going back. I'm not going back to what I once was. I'm not getting caught up in that again. I remember where Jesus brought me from. Oh, I remember what it was when I was finally made free. I remember when he brought me out of the miry clay. I remember what it used to feel like, and I'm not going back. I'm not sliding back. I don't want to be a backslider because I don't want to go back to that place. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody today needs to remember that the end could be worse than the beginning if we listen to the lies of the enemy. Why is it that Peter was able to write about the subject of backsliding with such descriptive language, so accurately depicting the experience in a revealing way? I believe because if anyone knew firsthand the reality and the dangers of backsliding, it was Peter. For after having experienced such wonderful things of God and after having walked on the water, after being part of the Lord's inner circle, after seeing Jesus transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration, and seeing Moses and Elijah, after all of this, he denied the Lord not once but three times. And his world came crashing down when he heard that rooster crow, just as the Lord had told him it would. Oh, today, how Peter found himself in the experience of a backslider. Such a fall, such a failure, such a devastated life. But in Peter's own words, I believe there's been given to us here today great wisdom designed to prevent us from having that same experience. The process of backsliding is a gradual one. It often overtakes someone by surprise at the end. But when they look closer, there were little signs all along the way. There were little decisions. There were small errors in judgment. There was little mistakes along the way. We read in 2 Peter 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Beware. In other words, I'm warning you so that you're not led away with the error of the wicked and end up losing your footing and you fall. Oh, God, help us today not to have the experience of a backslider. So let's look at the journey that Paul took. He didn't start at the Lord's trial. He didn't begin with there at the fire with the servants of the high priest. But let's look back through Mark chapter 4 and let's examine where Peter went wrong. And God, help us to be warned today to not make those same mistakes. Amen. In Mark chapter 14, verse 27, we read, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen. I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, and he said, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And so here we see Peter's first step in backsliding. It can be summed up in one word, and this is it. Pride. Pride. He boasts that he would never fall away. Oh, he won't be defended, and he won't deny the Lord, and oh, that would never happen to me. But if we let pride enter our heart, Proverbs 16 and 18 declares, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. We better be careful about declaring today, well, I'd never do that. We don't know what we'd do. We don't know how far we'd go. It's just for the grace of God today that we're not out there in the world somewhere bound by sin and lost as lost can be. We must never allow ourselves to get so lifted up in pride that, oh, Jesus has brought me out of the world and I could never go back to that place. Oh, God, don't let it happen, because we would open the door to our destruction and fall if we don't remember it was the grace of God. I'd never do that. I'd never get caught up in that. I'd never commit that sin. We just don't know. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 tells us, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth taketh heed lest he fall. We're not standing by our own strength. We must not get so confident in our own abilities that it causes us to fall. I tell you, we need the Lord every single day. We need to repent every single day. We need to pray through every day. Because the moment we think we're standing, the moment we think we're so sure by ourselves, that's the moment that we're in danger of a fall. Hallelujah. Why is pride the first step in backsliding? Because humility is the first step in entering the kingdom of God. Matthew 18, verse 2 reads, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If we lose humility, we take that first step back. If we lose that humility of a child, we've started towards the world. And Peter found it out. And we'd better be careful. Because pride goeth before destruction. In Mark chapter 14, verse 32, we read, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while where I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." In this example, we find where Peter became negligent. He neglected to take care of those things which were most important. He was sleepy. He was tired. But he'd been told to watch. He'd been told to be aware. His laziness, his lack of awareness, his negligence, it caused him to be caught off guard for what was to follow. And the same thing can happen to us. Oh, we think we're doing good, and we think we can slack off on prayer, and we think we can relax on spiritual warfare, and we think we can miss a few services for this and for that. And if we're not diligent, if we're not careful, we'll be caught unprepared. Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." We must not be negligent in the ways of God. We must not neglect those things which are most important. Hey, fathers, hey, husbands, hear my voice today. Don't let the enemy rock you to sleep, but you be diligent. You be watchful. You be prayerful. Mothers and wives here today, I pray that you hear it. The enemy is after your soul. The enemy is after your families. He wants to destroy you. Don't you be caught off guard by his attack. Hey, young person, the enemy's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Don't you think you can make it without praying? Don't you think you can make it by skipping church? We've got to be diligent if we're going to make it. Must not neglect that which is most important. But if we're proud of ourselves and if we neglect to be watchful and aware, then that leads us easily to the next step. We read in Mark chapter 14, verse 53, "And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire." If you read that, it says Peter followed him afar off. He followed him, but it was at a distance. At a distance. When Jesus was popular, Peter wanted to be front and center. When things were easy, Peter was glad to be a Christian. He was glad to be a part of the inner circle. Oh, but now things had changed. And now that Jesus was an outcast, and now that the crowd had turned against him, and now that things weren't easy, Peter followed at a distance. He stayed far enough away so he wouldn't be identified as one of them. He followed at a distance. And if we get to the point that we distance ourselves from the Lord, if we distance ourselves from the church, if we distance ourselves from holiness, if we distance ourselves from truth, then we are already going down the road to a backslidden experience. Think about it today. Are we ashamed of Christ? Are we ashamed of Christ? Are we ashamed to be seen carrying a Bible? Are we ashamed to be seen living a holy life? I tell you, there's people worldwide today that are giving their very lives for this truth. They're giving their very lives for this precious book. Are we ashamed to be seen thanking God and blessing our meals? Are we ashamed to be seen with other Christians? Are we ashamed to let others know that we're not the same as the rest of this world, but we've been different? We've been called out of this world. Jesus said in Mark 8:38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I tell you, it's not time to distance ourselves from Jesus. It's not time to distance ourselves from the church. We don't need to go down that road to backsliding, but this is the day that we need to declare, "I'm a Christian even more." We need to declare Jesus even more. We need to connect with the church even more. This is the day to have boldness, young people. This is the day to let God use you in your schools. This is the day to stand up for what's right, to stand up for what's holy, to stand up for what's true. Come on, this is the day to declare like never before, "I've been called out of this world. I'm not going back that way, but I'm living for Jesus. I'm set apart, and I'm thankful for that today." If we become ashamed of Christ, it's natural that we would fall into the next step of backsliding, worldliness. Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. What a difference from drawing a sword in defense of Jesus to now he's sitting with the servants of the high priest. He's warming himself by the fire, ashamed to be seen with Jesus. And now it becomes easy to mingle with those who are of the world and to enjoy their comforts. I don't know about your mama, but my mama always said, "Don't play with fire. You're going to get burned," or something like that. Hear me today, we can't be comforted by the fire of this world and not be burned. Oh, the peril of backsliding. We read in Proverbs 6:27, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" Now, I know there's some motivational classes out there that teach you to walk on coals. They somehow hype them up and they do it. I'm not planning to sign up for that. But I want to tell you, the enemy wants to do the same. He wants to convince us that we won't get burned. He wants to tell us just a little bit of worldliness, it's not going to hurt. A little bit of sin won't really matter. Just a little casual involvement in the world. Just a little fellowship with sin. But you get close enough to the fire, and it's going to leave a mark. Don't you believe the lie of the enemy. We can't flirt with the world and remain untouched. Worldliness is a fire that can't be controlled. It's a fire that spreads quickly. Oh, today, if you're on the road of a backslider, you need to let this wake you up in your spirit. You're going to get burned. You can't control it. That's the very nature of worldliness. You get in thinking you're going to stay in control, and it's just a little bit, and it's not going to hurt. But in the end, you're bound. You're a slave to sin. You're a slave to Satan and his devices. And by the time someone becomes friends with the world, it's only a short time until they take the final step of backsliding. We read in Mark chapter 14, verse 66, "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, 'And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth?' But he denied, saying, 'I know not, neither I understand what thou sayest.' And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them. You're one of those Christians. You're one of those apostolics. You're one of those Pentecostals that worship God and get all crazy in church. And you're one of those that talk in tongues." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." I want to tell you, you can try to fit in, but you'll never fit in with the world. Once you've been covered by the blood of Jesus, once you've been saved from sin, you can go back to it. You can go as far deep in sin as you can go, and there will always be something that's not right. You'll never fit in. You'll always be reminded of what Jesus did for you. You'll always be reminded that you don't belong in the world. You don't belong in that place of sin. You're never going to be comfortable once you've been saved going back, but you'll be miserable. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak." And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him before the cock crow twice, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. He started off in pride. He neglected that which was most important. He distanced himself from the Lord, allowed himself to fellowship with worldliness and to take comfort from the world. And now Peter finds himself denying his Lord and Savior in the moment that Jesus needed him most. Oh, I wonder if those words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 came back to Peter. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." We may never come to the place that we actually deny the Lord with our words. But nevertheless, we can easily backslide to the place where we deny him in actions. Or lack of action. Help us, Lord. When we deny the Lord, our backsliding is complete. The devil has us in his grip. We become a slave to sin unless at that point, the only thing we can do is just face the Lord and admit our sin. And repent, to face our mistakes, and let God cleanse us and make us new. If we reach that point of backsliding, you can't get out of it yourself. You're gripped by the grip of Satan. You're tangled and enslaved to sin. The only thing you can do at that point is say, "God, I'm lost and I need your help. I repent of my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done, Lord. I've denied you, God. I've dreadfully disappointed you, but God, here I am. Forgive me today." And Peter had denied the Lord. In Luke 22:61, we read, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, Thou shalt deny me thrice." The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine? "I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll never fail you, God." Can you imagine how Peter felt as Jesus looked at him? Imagine what his heart felt as the eyes of his Savior pierced his soul. If you're in danger today of a backslider's experience, I pray that we'd allow the Lord's eyes to pierce through the walls of sin and the walls of darkness, the walls that we've allowed the enemy to build between us and heaven. Oh, that in his mercy, God could touch our heart one more time here today so that we repent, so that we'd get off this road of backsliding, so we'd realize the deception of the enemy that's meant to destroy our soul. Peter wept. He wept bitterly. If you notice, Peter and Judas both wept. Peter and Judas both wept. Why did one make it and the other didn't? Because Peter had godly sorrow, which brought true repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And years later, we find Peter writing to the church and writing to us here some 2,000 years later, giving us advice from a backslider's experience, a backslider who found true repentance. What advice do you have for us, Peter? Come on, would you like to know from a backslider's experience, would you like to know what we can do to not fall into that same trap of sin? What advice do you have for us here today, Peter? To guard against pride, Peter prescribes humility. He wrote in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God resists the proud, but oh, he gives grace to the humble. Are you thankful for that today? To keep us from neglecting the things that truly matter, Peter commands that we be diligent. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I tell you today, it's not time to sleep. It's not time to relax. It's not time to take it easy. It's not time to stop praying. It's not time to lay out of church. It's not time to let down on what we believe. Hallelujah. Parents, I want to tell you, it's not time for us as parents to give up. Don't neglect the things that truly matter, but you be sober. You be vigilant. You know that the devil's walking around as a roaring lion seeking to devour somebody. Instead of following the Lord at a distance and distancing ourselves from the things of God, Peter says, I want you to glorify God. 1 Peter 4:16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Parents, let us be reminded today, our children's walk with God is affected by our walk with God. If we only follow the Lord at a distance, if we don't pray, and if we don't worship, and if we don't respond to the Holy Ghost, that affects our children. This is not time to distance ourselves from the Lord, but I'm thankful for some parents today. Oh, that we love God. And we're raising children in the truth. And Harvest, we're going to come behind these parents, and we're going to do our best to teach our children the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to do our best to teach them about the oneness of God. We're going to do our best to teach them about holiness. I want them to understand what holiness is. I don't want to just give them, well, here's 10 rules that you got to follow. No, I want them to understand, what is holiness? What does it mean? Why do we do that? Where is the scriptures that teach us and tell us how to live? Parents, I want to make this pledge to you. Harvest loves young people. Harvest loves children. It's not okay for any of them to be lost. It is not okay for one to be lost. And so we make this pledge to you today. We're going to love your children. We're going to show them the truth. We're going to lead them in a life of worship and prayer. We're going to allow the Holy Ghost to move in services so that if they want it, they're going to be able to receive it, so that they'll be baptized in Jesus' name. But parents, we need your help too. We need your help too. We're going to do everything we can. But parents, we need to make a commitment that we're not going to follow the Lord at a distance. Parents need to commit too. I'm going to be here every time the church doors are open. I'm going to bring my children to times of church prayer. Oh, I'm going to make a way for my kids to go to youth camps and youth convention and youth congresses. And parents, we're going to help the pastor when he expects our youth to sit up front. What a great group of young people are up here today. If we bind together in this, then I believe not only will we not follow the Lord at a distance, but our children are going to pick up right where we leave off, and they're going to go even greater distances for the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Don't you follow God at a distance, but you sell everything out and you live for Jesus with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole soul. I've got to get in this with everything I've got. When we follow at a distance, it's hard to hear the voice of the Lord. When we follow at a distance, it's hard to feel the moving of His Spirit. When we follow at a distance, it's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to hear the voice of doubt and fear and unbelief. I can't follow at a distance, but I've got to be at every prayer meeting. I've got to be at every service. I've got to be at every revival. I've got to do everything I can to follow close to Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Instead of worldliness, Peter tells us to abstain from the things that war against the soul. He writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We're just strangers and pilgrims in this land, but we are a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We are destined for something better than the best that this world has to offer. Don't you sell yourself short, but buy into this. Buy the truth and sell it not. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't buy into the temporary dream of worldliness and lose the hope of eternal life. Instead of denial, Peter writes that we should always be ready to give a defense for what we believe. He says in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why is it we have Bible studies and Bible study seminars and discipleship classes and first steps and next steps and deeper steps? And why do we do all that? Because we should always be ready to give an answer for what we believe. Hallelujah. We need to be prepared so when that moment comes, we don't turn away in fear because we don't know what to say and we really don't know what we believe and we can't prove it in the Bible, and so we turn away. That does not need to be the case. But Brother Sean, we've got to teach our young people. Amen. Sister Long, we've got to teach our children. We've got to do whatever it takes to instill this gospel in them so when the moment comes that they are confronted by the enemy, they're confronted by the world, they can stand up and say, let me tell you what I believe. And here's why I believe it. This is not just what some man told me, but this is what the Word of God, this is what Jesus Christ said. This is what God in heaven wants me to do, and I'm going to do it. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me today? Oh, what wonderful advice today from a backslider's experience. We need to hear these words of Peter today so we don't find ourselves in that same situation. Maybe we have no intention of backsliding. We have no plans to do so. Maybe we think we're standing strong, but that's when the enemy can catch us unaware. Can you remember the names of some backsliders? Can you remember the names of someone that wants to be, that were once saved, but now something's happened? I wonder if you'd write their name on that slip of paper right now. Lord, save my cousins. Save my children. Save my neighbors. That one that used to sit on the pew with me and now they're gone. That one that used to teach, but now the world has trapped him in sin. Come on, I pray that you're taking this to heart today. I feel like God's going to do work, but we're going to reach out in faith here right now. Come on, some of you young marrieds and some of you young adults, you remember some of those youth that you grew up with that were in this church. They were in Bible quizzing. They went to youth camps. And now they're not here. Some of you parents, you're always calling that name out to the Lord in prayer. Some of you elders remember whole families that the enemy has done its best to destroy. Some of you that made the trip rejecting false doctrine, staying with the truth. You remember some of those that didn't make the trip with you. And today they don't even know what they believe. Oh. If they love not the truth, God promised to send strong delusion to them. When you think of some of the prayers that Moses prayed for the children of Israel, at one point he said, Lord, even if it takes me being lost, save them. But Pruitt, I'm not willing to pray that. But I pray that there would be a burden that would go forth in this house today. That would say, God, I know they're bound by delusion. But God, in your mercy, would you reveal the truth to them one more time and give them one more chance? In one moment of time, God, would you deliver them from this and bring them back to truth? Come on, if you have that kind of faith, I want you to put that name down on that piece of paper. And we're going to put these papers all across this altar. And you can put a face down. You don't have to tell everybody. We're going to collect them. And I'll probably be one of the only ones that sees this. But we're going to pray for all these as a group. And we're going to keep praying for them over this next couple of weeks. And we're going to believe that God is about to save many backsliders. And that he's going to bring them out of darkness. He's going to bring them out of false doctrine. He's going to set them free from addiction again. When Peter saw the eyes of the Lord, he realized his mistake. As Jesus looked at him, he realized where he was. But for each of us today, when we see Jesus face to face, the time to repent will already be past because it'll be a day of judgment. But if some of these things from Peter convict us today, I want to tell you this is the day of repentance. This is the day of salvation. This is the time to make it right. This is the time to heed the words of Peter, to hear his voice, this voice of experience speaking to us from history. If we'll repent today, then when we meet the Lord face to face, it'll be a day of everlasting joy and not a day of judgment. Hallelujah. Come on, do you have some names down on that paper? Come on, some of you need to write down some parents' names and you need to write down some brothers and some sisters. Come on, you need to write down that name by faith. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, would you open your heart and let's ask God to speak to us right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you see these backsliders. Lord, I believe that you're reaching for them and you're going to use us to pray some prayers and you're going to use us to cry out for mercy and you're going to use us to witness to them, oh Lord. I pray that you will lay that soul upon our heart right now. I pray that you will let that burden rest deep within us, God, so that we're going to commit to prayer and we're going to commit to fasting for them and we're going to commit that they're going to be delivered from the grip of sin in their life. God, I pray that you will let that burden go forth in this house. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Some of you here today, you thought, well, no, they're too far gone. They're too far gone. They're too bound by sin. No, I want to tell you, nothing's impossible with the Lord. Nothing's impossible with the Lord. Put that name down on that paper, and we're going to pray the prayer of faith, and we're going to believe that God is going to set them free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, there's already some that are coming. They're putting names down on this altar. Would you come right now? Would you put these down on this altar by faith? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, save our loved ones. God, I pray that you would save these backsliders. I pray that you'd have mercy upon their soul. I pray that you'd have mercy upon their family, God. Lord, touch these parents. Touch those kids. Those kids didn't have a choice. Those kids didn't know any better. Yet because of the actions of their parents, now they're lost. I pray, God, that you would reach for that family today. I pray that you would reach for that heart today. And now after you come and lay these names on the altar, I wonder if you would let God search your heart right now. God, don't let there be any hint of backsliding in us. Don't let there be any hint of sin in us. But search our hearts today. Lord, I repent before you. I ask God, Lord, remove every bit of sin. Remove every bit of worldliness. Help me to be vigilant in this fight for our soul, oh God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Come on, is there any more? Is there any others? Is there any others here today? Come on, we're doing something very spiritual right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Is there any others? I know you've asked God for it many times before, but I'm asking you to do it again by faith here today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Sarare bataya rara mosha karara. Hitai kitiya sotro.